This recording, Wyoming 6, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Karma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onuroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily in an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square, near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot-and-mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would not expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around her office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Kama, Kama," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Kama was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her. But Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Kama and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. I can't imagine paying so much, but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. The end. Small, boring, conservative, Mormon. Pretty, scenic area. Class of 60, 70 in our high school. That's a good one. I don't know. A lot of the phrases I make up myself. So. Yeah. The Lovell dish was whatever my mom made, meat and potatoes. Tuna on toast. There were really no restaurants. When we were older, there was tacos from the Scoop Drive-In. No pizza. He ate at home. We could eat a hamburger at the Rose Bowl. That was a treat. The one closest, my sister Ruth, she had a Barbie doll and I had a G.I. Joe. And when my two older sisters would play with me when I was littler, but I don't remember, because Betty was 10, almost 11 years older than I was. Stephen, 7 years younger, so mostly playing was teasing Stephen. I had friends on where we lived on the hill, so I'd play a lot of baseball with them. Baseball was kind of, you see the movie Sandlot, or not, was it Sandlot? That was kind of us. We made our own baseball field mm-hmm. in the back of their house and played baseball all day long. Well, 7th, 8th grade, yes. I was outgoing and the class clown, but when it came to girls, I was shy, and so I didn't really approach him. I did go to the movie with this girl. Small, fun, knew everybody. If you wanted to be involved in something, well, it was all Mormon-related. And a good group of kids. Most of them were Mormon, so they were always off with their Mormon activities. I didn't know it at the time. It was just life the way it was. And Boy Scouts were at the Mormon Church, and they all went to the Mormon Church, and They were all Mormon. Never did. I didn't realize it till actually it was my 40th reunion. And it's still the same. They're all talking about the Mormon church. And I felt out of place.